Open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 4. Please stay standing. I'm going to read a text and then we're going to come back to it hopefully at the end. But you guys know how I am with notes and times and stuff. So Proverbs 4, verse number 10. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom and have led you in the paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take from hold of instruction, do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not go the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and pass on, for they do not sleep unless they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of the wicked, or wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They do not know, and at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are the life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Keep your heart with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left, and remove your foot from evil. The word of the Lord. You can sit, please. We recently launched the young adults ministry here, and I wanted to take our group through a spiritual practice last week through something called listening prayer. I don't have time to go into it, but you're just sitting there in prayer and you're literally listening for the Lord. And some things that we heard were slow down, make room. I heard Psalm 40, which out of that was listen to the words of the Lord, be still. And someone else heard the hymn. They recalled the hymn, Come Thou Fount, but the line in there was, tune my heart. I think we're at a very important cultural moment in history, in the creation of the world, where life is just really busy, really busy. 2007, the invention of the smartphone. We looked at that last time, right? Y'all remember that? Last time we looked at two things. One, you might question your salvation, right? Are you really following Jesus, right? And that's meant to be funny. But it's serious, too. Are you following him? Because that 70% of people that said they're a Christian, less than 9% are actually believing his word and doing its practices. We also looked at the amount of time people spent on smartphones, all right, approximately 5 hours plus a day. And I was just thinking this on the way in, like 2007, the smartphone, and then what happened like just a little bit a while ago that just totally wrecked the world? What? when we all got COVID, what did you have to do? Quarantine. We had to slow down. I'm wondering if the Lord's allowing things to help us be aware of who he is. I'm not saying he caused it. I'm just saying, slow down. A woman after one of the services last time I taught came up to me and Mandy and said that hearing the truths of God's word and these statistics, she said she was healed of addiction to her phone that she didn't even know she had. John Mark Comer, in his book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, How to Stay Emotionally Healthy and Spiritually Alive in the Chaos of the Modern World, I think it came out in 2016, he said this, What you give your attention to is the person you become. Put another way, the mind is the portal to the soul. And what you will find and what you fill your mind with will shape the trajectory of your character. In the end, your life is no more than the sum of what you gave your attention to. That bodes well for those apprentices of Jesus who give the bulk of their attention to him and to all that is good, beautiful, and true in the world. But not for those who give their attention to the 24/7 news cycle of outrage and anxiety and emotion-charged drama, or the nonstop feed for celebrity gossip, titillation, and cultural drivel. As if we give it, right? Again, in the first place. Much of it is stolen by a clever algorithm out to monetize our precious attention. But again, we become what we give our attention to, for better or for worse. Last time we looked at Mark 9 and about the demon, and the disciples couldn't cast out the demon, and they asked Jesus, why couldn't we do this? And he said, this only comes out by what? Prayer and fasting, right? It wasn't that they couldn't do it. We saw later in scriptures that they did. It's just that they weren't putting in the practice. Last week, after our young adult group, one of the people came up to me, and I'm going to use like pronouns like they, so you don't know who it is. Just, right, I've talked to him already, so that's why I'm using plural pronouns. Speaking of the demonic, last Sunday I had someone in our church share with me of an encounter they had at work. This person in our church has a profession where they're dealing with and talking with people from all walks of life every day. And recently they were challenged by a Christian mentor of theirs that does similar work. And they were challenged to consider inviting the Holy Spirit into every conversation they have. This challenge came on a Tuesday. Guess when Satan's challenge showed up? Wednesday. The very next day, this person was talking to someone who was evidently a non-Christian and following another way, as demonstrated by the crystals and stones they wore. Forgetting what was just said the day before, and I'm not knocking them, the person in our church forgot to invite the Holy Spirit. It's not a chrism, not a knock on them, but the spiritual practice that was presented to them haven't become a habit yet. Does that make sense? And so the conversation began. Early in the conversation, the question of the non-Christian was asked, share with me your journey. Speaking of their faith journey, and something in the non-Christian said, you cannot come on this journey, for you are full of God. Awkward silence. And the conversation ended as quickly as it started. Again, not a criticism, but what if the Christian had engaged in the spiritual practice of prayer and maybe fasting, inviting the Holy Spirit into the beginning of the conversation? I wonder how the outcome would have been different. So this morning, I want to continue talking about spiritual practices and practicing the way of Jesus. Because engaging in the practice of Jesus are what transform us into the people who look like and live a lifestyle like Jesus. Story goes that there was a Texas cattle rancher, and he went on a vacation, a much needed vacation, I can imagine. I can't because I'm not a rancher, but I can imagine a little bit. And when he got there, he was super confused, driving around like endlessly, mile after mile after mile, seeing tons of cattle, but no fences. And he was just perplexed. The rancher finally got to an Australian rancher and said, what is going on with all this cattle and no fences? And the Australian cattle rancher said this, oh, that's not a problem. Out here we dig wells instead of build fences. There's no need to fence cattle in when they are highly motivated to stay within the range of water, their most important source of life. So distance from the center is not as important as direction of movement. So in the same way, spiritual practices are like the wells. In going to them and engaging in them, we become aware of our need of Jesus, the one who offers us the water of life that refreshes our soul. And the life of a disciple and a life of an apprentice of Jesus is about establishing wells, not fences. So how do we practice the way of Jesus? I think in order to do this, I think we're going to have to do two things. The first thing is we're going to have to throw off, and the other one is to take on and learn. Throw off and take on and learn. So to intentionally not do these things, I believe, would be potentially sabotaging the momentum and the movement of God that God is actually doing here too at Crossroads. So let's look at the first thing. If you would, turn three places, Hebrews 12, Ephesians 4, and Matthew 11. Grab three places. The first one we're going to look at is Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews 12. The author of Hebrews to the followers of Jesus wrote this: let us lay aside or throw off every weight and sin that so easily entangles, or as the old King James says, besets us, and let us run with endurance or patience the race that is set before us. The word here, entangle, alludes to a competitor thwarting a racer in every direction. That same word translated in the King James, that English word beset, gives off the idea of threatening persistently. Don't y'all know we have an adversary who continually seeks to threaten us from all sides? Paul to the believers at Ephesus, this is where you can flip over to Ephesians 4. Paul to the believers at Ephesus said it this way: from now on, you walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, excluded from the life of God, through the ignorance that is within them, due to the hardness of their hearts. Being callous, they have given themselves over to sensuality for the what? What is it? For the what? Sensuality for the practice. Am I in the right spot with y'all? Huh? Oh, I'm... Phew. Here we go. Wake up, teacher. Go with me to verse 19. Let's back up. Go to verse 19. 419. That would be helpful. So being callous, they have given themselves over to sensuality for the what? For the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn about Christ in this manner, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in who? In Jesus. That you put off the former way of life in the old nature, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new nature which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. So we've just looked at Hebrews, whoever the author of that is, as well as Paul. Both of them are saying we have to put off or lay aside some things. But what about this idea of taking on and learning? Let's go with me to Matthew chapter number 11. We're going to look at verses 28 to 30. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, he said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus' invitation here is to those of us who are tired, worn down, stressed out, busy, and hurried. Anybody? Anybody? Listen to this paraphrase of this same verse. Are you tired? Yes. Worn out, burned out, maybe on religion. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. How many of you would like that? Right? That to be your daily experience. So this is an invitation of Jesus to follow him. But I think if we're honest, by the response here, many of us haven't truly experienced that yet. Or maybe it's for a season, but it's not something that we experience on an ongoing basis. But hidden in plain sight, Jesus is offering us something. This is what Dallas Willard called the secret of the easy yoke. Dallas Willard wrote this: the secret involves living as he lived in the entirety of his life, adopting his overall lifestyle. Our mistake is not thinking that following Jesus consists in loving our enemies, going the second mile, turning the other cheek, suffering patiently and hopefully, while living the rest of our lives just as everybody else in the world does. And to do that, it's a strategy that is bound to fail. What Dallas Willard is saying here is very profound and yet simple. In essence, he is saying that if you want to experience the life of Jesus, you have to do what Jesus did. You have to adopt his lifestyle. Because to be a follower of Jesus is just that. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of life. In my experience, being in the church for 30-something years now, not just this church, but being in the West and living in America, I feel like we have been really, really heavy on theology and really, really heavy on ethics, but a little bit light on emulating the life of Jesus. C.S. Lewis said this, addressing the church: the church exists for nothing else but to draw men unto Christ, to make them little Christs. If they're not doing that, all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. And God became a man for no other purpose but to be like Jesus. You see, it's not just ideas or what we call theology or a list of do's and don'ts, ethics. Rather, it's about an embodied way of life. And here's the truth. Unmarried, married, what I've observed and what I've seen in my life and the life of others that are older, and some much older, is that life at every block of time has challenges. Would we agree? There's ups and downs. They're unavoidable. So there's an emotional and spiritual weight to this life. And some of you are like, and following Jesus feels like one more thing. But let's pay attention again to what Jesus says here. Matthew 11. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my what? My yoke upon you. Jesus had a yoke. And as a rabbi in the first century, this is a very well-known idiom. The yoke was the rabbi's way of reading the Torah, or the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Jesus says, take my yoke. Take my interpretation and understanding of the Old Testament, particularly the Torah. But it wasn't just taking on his readings and interpretations, but it was taking on his life, his teachings. Imagine two oxen pulling together a cart to plow a field. A yoke is how you shoulder the load. And to be an apprentice of Jesus means to organize your life around three things: to be with Jesus, to become like him, to do what he did. To do what he did. So we need to stop trying to do things ourselves forcefully and hurriedly, especially over things that we can't control anyway. You see, there's no escaping this life and its crushing weight. The best the world can offer is a temporary distraction to delay the inevitable or deny the inescapable. That's why Jesus doesn't offer us an escape. Did you get that? Jesus said, come with me and we'll get out of here. I mean, one day, yes. That's not what he said. He offers us something far better: equipment. He offers his apprentices a whole new way to bear the weight of our humanity with ease. At his side, like two oxen in a field, shoulder to shoulder, with Jesus doing all the heavy lifting. At his pace, slow, unhurried, present to the moment, full of love, joy, and peace. I mean, how many want that? How many want that? Come on. So here it is. An easy life isn't an option. An easy yoke is. He didn't promise an easy life. He promised an easy yoke. And some of you are like, this yoke stuff is awesome. I want some of that. I need some of that. But on the other hand, you're not willing to give up the things that you think benefit your life. You're not willing to embrace the life of Jesus and adopt his lifestyle. You're not. At times, I'm not. I'm not there. That's the song that Monica and the team wrote, that refiner's fire. That's real. Jesus has to burn all, that's sanctification. Got to burn off and do away with all that is of us so that we can be more like Jesus. So here's a definition for you of spiritual practices. It's a lifestyle of Jesus that creates a time and space for access to the power and presence of God through the Holy Spirit, and in doing so, be transformed from the inside out. Accessing the power and the presence. I think Pastor Rich said it last week, this idea of practicing the presence. To practice the presence. Dallas Willard, again, on this spiritual discipline, said, disciplines are a practice, are activities of the mind, body, purposely undertaken to bring our personality and total being into effective cooperation with the divine order, with God. They enable us more and more to live in a power that is, strictly speaking, beyond us, deriving from the spiritual realm itself. As we yield ourselves to God, as those that are alive from the dead and are members, instruments of righteousness unto God, like Romans 6:13 teaches. So You might be saying, okay, well, what are these, some of these practices? Well, here's just a few. Prayer, fasting, community and hospitality, sharing a meal together. Jesus did that a lot. Sabbath, resting from work. We are not God. I mean, well, even God, right? Genesis 1, rested from his work. God himself. Sunday gatherings, communion, worship through song, teaching, engaging with scripture, serving. Some of these things that Pastor Rich cast vision for a couple weeks ago. Simple living, celebration, grieving, confession, gratitude, solitude, and silence. So what practices are you engaging this year to become more like Jesus? I think what would be helpful this week, walking away, would be to do a spiritual inventory of your life. Where are the hours of your day going? What's capturing your time? What's drawing your attention? Because once you identify, you can put off or kick out some of those things that you're doing that are not helping you become more like Jesus. And you can say, hey, I do actually have some time, and this is where I can do these things. I want to do one last thing. So I want to share with you, and go back to Proverbs 4, if you would. Go back to Proverbs 4. This is the last thing, and then we're done. So I want to share with you, one of the things was engaging scripture. And so we've done that today, right? But we've done it more in a study mode, right? We've done some studying. So I want to pass on to you a practice that I learned, right, in my time as a campus minister within our varsity. And it's something that's been super life-giving to me, and it's a practice called Lectio Divina. Right, just means a divine reading. All right, we're just going to engage God, and we're just going to receive. We're not going to sit here and dissect it and try to think we can get all the meaning out of it. We're just going to receive from the Lord. How's that sound? Just receive from the Lord. So what I'm going to do is we're going to read this same passage we read at the beginning, Proverbs 4, but I'm going to read it three different times. But after each reading, I'm going to give you a prompt. Okay, ready to go? Let's pray real quick. Father, again, come before us. Lord, would you speak? Lord, there's many of us here in this room, Lord, who are dealing with all kinds of diverse things. And if we haven't yet received from you this morning, Lord, we're asking that you, in this moment, in this spiritual practice of hearing from you and engaging your word, Lord, that you would speak. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Again, Proverbs 4, verse 10. So as we read this, I want you to pay attention to what word or phrase stands out to you. As we're reading, ask the Lord, what do you have for me? Show me, Lord, what is here for me? So what word or phrase? Here we go. Here, verse 10. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. Run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not go in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of the wicked and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They do not know at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right, to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Again, I'm going to give you a moment. What word or phrase has the Lord shown you? What word or phrase stands out? Do not try to think about what does it mean yet. Just what is it? I'm going to give you like 30 seconds. Reading number 2, verse 10. Hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom and have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not go down in the way of evil men and avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of the wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They do not know at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look right on. Let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So with this second reading, okay, we've hopefully received or seen a word or phrase that has stood out to us. The next question is, having read this and looking at the context of this passage, what does the word or phrase mean that the Lord has revealed to you? How is this text speaking to your life right now today? So, I'm going to give you a minute. Take a minute and talk with the Lord on what he's shown you. Talk with the Lord. Go ahead and do that right now about what he has given you. Last reading, Proverbs 10, or 4, verse 10. Hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom and have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction, do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not go into the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it, turn from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they do not know at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. So, having read this a third time and hopefully receiving a word or a phrase from this, something that stood out to you, hopefully the Lord has given you a little bit of understanding and enlightenment on what this word or phrase means for you. The third engagement is, based on those things, how is the Lord inviting you to respond today? How is he inviting you to respond today? What's he inviting you into? What might God be calling you to become?